Hello, I'm Alice Gray, and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Petri Dish, the podcast that dissects science and takes a look down the microscope at controversial topics in research. Today I'm joined by Jasmine Scarlett, a historical and social volcanologist for our International Women's Day celebrations. Thank you so much for joining me, Jasmine.
No problem, thank you for having me.
Before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourself and the amazing work that you do.
Okay, well, I was born in Luton and raised in Milton Keynes in the UK. And I'm currently doing my PhD at Hull University, but I'm in Denmark doing a little side project with archaeologists. But my research is looking at the historical and social significance of a volcano in the Caribbean island of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And the volcano is quite big on a small island, and the volcano is called La Soufrière.
That sounds so fascinating. Getting to look at volcanoes every day, that's such an exciting thing to do. So before we get into looking at how you got into that fascinating field of science, do you think that growing up, do you think that there was a person, event, or incident that led you to become interested in science as a career?
It's strange because I don't actually know a defining moment. For me, it may sound cliche, but I've just always been fascinated by science. I suppose a story that my mum likes to tell everyone, because she also likes to show off, is that I was quite sick as a child and I spent a lot of time in hospital, and like the first book she gave me was a pop-up atlas, and I think I like spent most of my time just like really going through that atlas book. So that kind of inspired me to become a geographer, and then I suppose then that fascination continued, and I just had really good teachers in primary school and secondary school kept saying, oh, just if you're really interested in something, just go and find out what it is and something like that. And like I was such a little nerd, I would like do little extra projects like at home to keep myself busy, so finding out what a hurricane was and what a volcano was and how earthquakes work and stuff like that. I would say it's mainly geography, but also I had a really good science teacher as well. And because I just naturally always ask questions, I suppose that the science and geography, like they're both, you know, made me want to do it at university level, and then kind of just bumbled along and stumbled into this.
Because I suppose I always think of science not necessarily as a career, but as a way of thinking. So you've got like a scientific way of thinking. So if you're curious and you want to problem solve, or you enjoy finding out answers, I think science isn't necessarily all about a career, but it's more about a mindset and encouraging all children to have a scientific way of thinking. And that's where science teachers, role models play a really huge role in our lives. And making sure that we use that curiosity, because as a little girl, if you wanted to find out what a hurricane was, you need to be encouraged to go and do that.
So I think as well as my family, like because I was so poorly, they were like saying that, just, you know, to keep my mind off being ill, they encouraged me like to look and like to, you know, be really interested in geography, and like they would help me like get textbooks and stuff because I was off school a lot as well, so I got a lot of extra help just to fuel my curiosity, I suppose.
So you got through your education and you did science at university, and you started to figure out what field of science that you became interested in. So what made you become interested in volcanology? I suppose we've already touched on it, but how did you find that little niche for yourself?
I suppose it started like with most students when you reach the end of your undergrad and you're like, oh, I don't want to go and have a job yet. what's that master's level? And like at the time, like I was looking for a kind of like disaster associated master's, and there was this there was a few at the time in the UK which were focusing on volcanoes, and I thought, okay, it'd be cool. And then, like, I remember just, you know, bouncing off ideas of my family, like, what should I do? And then remembered that my family's actually from a volcanic island and they have stories of the volcano erupting. So I was like, actually, that's pretty, you know, it would be like my way of, like, giving back in a way, like, finding out how this volcano impacted on people. So I thought, okay, I think I'll do that. And then I ended up on the master's program. Just obviously that's just when the whole fascination with volcanoes and how they influence society kind of skyrocketed from there.
So can you give us a little flavour of how volcanoes influence society?
Okay, well, so if we take Vesuvius, for example, and then Naples in Italy, that's probably the most immediate volcano we can think of in Europe that has influenced society, because we have the remains of Pompeii and Herculaneum from 79 AD. And obviously just by, you know, learning about that eruption itself, obviously it wiped out a whole entire population. And that's the more devastating impacts. That's like, that's how extreme a volcano can go. Like they can wipe out total areas. But more, I suppose, positive side of things, that certain societies have like a cultural and spiritual or religious connection to the volcano. And that actually helps them come together as a people to, when there is a crisis, not just with the volcano, but other crisis as well, they can come together and, you know, help each other out, make sure everyone's still can keep going, even though their lives are disrupted. And also can, I suppose it could be like, obviously it depends on the volcano, but they can drive like changes already going on in society. I mean, there's a, I don't know if you've seen it on Twitter, the Volcano Cup. I managed to find some facts about some of the Iceland volcanoes and found out that one eruption in like 64 AD may have influenced the myth of Ragnarok. And I was like, that is really cool. So like volcanoes, they've always been there in our imagination, and like they inspire these legends and stories and, you know, bring people together, but obviously like can pull the society apart, but then they find a way to rebuild again. So it's like they're very unique things, volcanoes, because they're always there and like they're always influencing you, but obviously in subtle ways as well as obvious ways as well. And I just find that really fascinating, really.
No, definitely, so do I. And I think that's something we don't think about often. When we think of volcanoes, as you say, we think of the disaster, but we don't think about people who live around them every day and how they have a relationship with that landscape that is very unique. So throughout your career, you would have learned a lot of things about volcanoes. But I think that what's been interesting through our International Women's Day podcast is that scientists have learnt about themselves when they're studying science as well. So is there anything that you have learnt about yourself during your science?
I suppose that it's okay to have a bad day.
Oh, okay, that's really good.
Yeah, because there are times when you're like, oh, this is rubbish, oh, this is wrong. But then, like, it's being critical of yourself, but in a, also it may appear a negative way, but actually when you reflect back on that episode, like, it's actually helped you solve the problem, sort of thing. So you have like a, you know, like a minor, you know, bad day or major bad day, depends on the person, but then, like, obviously with your scientific thinking, you're like, okay, how can I make this situation better, sort of thing. So for me, it's more like, it's okay to have a bad day, and it's okay to things not work out in the first instance, because it will work out in some other way.
Yeah, and I think that's really evident in some scientific studies, isn't it? Like, you think of the discovery of penicillin and how that all came about because someone didn't clean up their workstation and so got contaminated. And that led to a huge discovery, and I think that is a really important thing to learn, that it's okay to have bad days, because, as you say, sometimes it can lead to great things, can't it?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And that is a really poignant way, I think, to end our podcast for International Women's Day. Thank you so much for joining us, Jasmine. It's been a complete pleasure to have you on our programme. And I look forward to hearing all about your volcanic discoveries.
Thanks, me too.
Oh, thank you.
No problem.